All right, so before the telephone call, what exactly were you saying now? We got to start over.
Well, that's
like,
okay.
Like we've never started over before.
No.
Okay,
no, I,
you were,
I get it.
What was it? You were what now?
Well, I'm just...
Commitment? No, what?
No, consistency.
Consistency.
Yeah. You know, pretty much you could say for anybody that really wants to get ahead in life, there's a consistency about how they focus, how they align themselves with what they want to actually succeed in. The things that they want to accomplish are on their mind, on their heart. It's the actions that they portray, the things they talk about. Well, with Scripture, it ought to be the same way with God, that He ought to be on our mind, on our heart. There ought to be a consistency there. But I find that there's a big inconsistency.
Okay. What does the word consistency mean to you?
With regularity. Always. Constantly.
Okay.
In other words, there's no breaks. It would be something that would be every day. All the time.
Okay. That's a good, yeah. I agree. That's a pretty good thing.
Well, when I look at Jesus and I look at Paul, these guys were on a mission. That's something I don't necessarily see, is people on a mission. Now, here's the thing. I got bananas. Here's the thing that that's interesting, and this is what I want to bring out. People are on a mission to study the Word. People will be on a mission to experience more Scripture, to quote Scripture, to meditate Scripture. And there's a part of that that I don't have a problem with, because it goes to filling your mind and your heart with God's truth. But we've talked a lot on this show about how easy it is, and it is. It's very easy, and you can see it in Scripture, especially Jesus talking to Pharisees, how very easy it is to put the Scripture in the place of God Himself. So the people that I see that had God, they put God in His proper place with consistency, not just the Scriptures.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty good. Cashews and chocolate.
Yeah.
Cashews are my favorite nut.
Well, yeah, me too.
Why do you have a note that says get bananas?
Because that was one thing. Aaron put that on the counter before I left, and I stuck it on that book so that I'd make sure I remembered.
Did you get bananas?
I did. I was at Doc's.
When you're at that grocery store, you got, if you buy anything, like even potato chips, if it's not like fresh, you need to check expiration dates. Because a lot of their stuff sometimes is like...
Oh, it's outdated?
Well, it's close. It's on the on the edge.
Do you always check them?
I check expiration dates on all food. Although, it's supposed to be a scam. Like, almost all products are good for considerably longer, because it doesn't, see, it's kind of funny thing about expiration dates, because they'll say best buy or sell by.
Right.
But it doesn't say don't eat by or kill you by date. It's best buy or use by.
Okay.
See, it's kind of a trick. It's salesmanship. Because they want you to throw out what you got and do what?
Buy more.
Buy more. Okay. There it, now, see, consistency is a very interesting topic for your show, because one of the problems with organized religion is an overdose of consistency.
In the wrong direction.
Well, it's like somebody will say, you know, we were gone all summer on vacations and the kids were out of school and we went here, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And, oh, this is my favorite sermon. We've been gone for over 2 months and we come back. And what I love about this building is it's like it never changes. It's just like we were here the whole time.
Right.
Okay. That's consistent. Except it's a train wreck of consistency. Now, it's you could almost say it's semantics or a play on word, but it really isn't. It's about looking at the forest not just the trees and shrubs that are right in front of your face,
right,
but to realize that there's an endless road, and on both sides of the roads, it's nothing but forest for longer than you can travel.
Okay.
Okay. The consistency that can be referred to spiritually in Scripture means consistent progress, consistent changing, consistent metamorphosis, consistent growing. See, that's consistent.
I'm looking at a definition of it while you're talking.
And in the dictionary? Or
yeah, in the dictionary.
And see, because you can consistently lose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you don't know how to play Monopoly or checkers or
right.
Scrabble or whatever, you can say, I consistently lose. I always lose.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you cheat, you can say,
I consistently cheat.
I consistently win because, yeah. You know, I'm a cheater.
Right.
Okay. So someone who has, and see, think about this. Look what Scripture says. If someone is consistent with their relationship with the guys, with
mm-hmm.
Christ,
mm-hmm.
there has to be changes. There has to be advancement.
Yeah.
It really is. It's impossible to have a relationship with Christ and you don't go nowhere, you don't change.
Right.
It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
I mean, who in the world, I mean, think about it, no matter who you are, from the smartest, richest person in the world to some poor individual that's living under a bridge with a small cat as their only friend and family. You know, with not uh-huh. a pot to pee in or a window to throw it out of.
Right.
All right. How would you not, if you know that there really is God, and you know that there is grace, and
right.
it has touched you, and you have had prayers answered, who would ever not put that first and be hooked on it like it was drugs or alcohol or gambling?
Right.
You couldn't get enough.
Right.
Perfect example is
right.
me.
Right.
I set everything aside for that. Okay. Well, that's my point. So if we're going to talk about consistency to the listeners of your show, I think we need to put it in a point of view of consistent success, consistent uh-huh. progress,
right.
a consistent chain of events. It's kind of like if you want to lose weight, okay, and it don't matter if you weigh 3,500 pounds or you just want to lose 10 pounds.
Okay.
Okay, and it doesn't matter whatever you try. You know, most of that stuff is you know, marketing scam anyways. And so anyways, you lose a little bit of weight and then you gain a little bit of weight and you're up and down and you're up and down and you're up and down. Okay, well, you're not consistently gaining. You're not consistently losing. But technically, you're consistently up and down.
Uh-huh.
See, consistent just means a steady base of something, right?
That's what it says, conformity in the application of something.
There you go. Okay. So, my point is that perhaps the thing to do to talk about on the show is to say that consistent, that you need to realize that the word consistency and what it means can be good or bad. That perhaps each person has to decide, well, wait a minute. Yeah, I'm drowning in consistency because I'm consistently going nowhere.
Right.
I'm screwed. Nothing's happening here.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just like you're stuck in the mud and your rear tires are just going zzz, 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 and you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Or the flip side, you're consistently going places, but nothing's happening.
Yeah, see, one of the ways of describing this in the dictionary, it says consistency is the achievement of a level of performance that does not vary greatly in quality over time. So notice it puts the emphasis
quality.
On...
quality.
Yeah, quality. Notice it puts the emphasis on a level of performance.
Yeah.
And without that performance, you're consistently going the wrong way. So really, you could say your effort, your works, your passion, whatever it is, it's in the wrong. It's misplaced, isn't it? Misguided,
yes.
Misdirected.
It's like me my whole life. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I didn't take drugs. I wasn't hurting anybody.
Right.
I was making quite a bit of money, but I was spending all my time with horses. I was consistently 24/7 about horses, but it wasn't doing my soul any good.
Right.
I wasn't doing anybody any good other than horses and, you know, making money.
Well, couldn't you even say that people like myself, who've been quote-unquote a godly person all his life, but then if I didn't have the results and I didn't have changes in my life, you could say I was consistently missing the mark too.
Yes.
I mean, it didn't do my soul any good either. Consistency, if what I was doing didn't produce the results.
Consistency really just kind of means level, straight, continual path of similarity. There's a lot of ways to put consistency.
Mm-hmm.
See, because I think that just think for a second, that it's millions. It's not tens, it's hundreds. There are hundreds of millions of people on the face of the planet right now that call themselves Christians.
Right.
That are going to some religious building somewhere consistently,
uh-huh,
consistently on a regular basis, who are misinformed, who have no progress, and there's virtually no future of change.
Right.
Because, okay, organized religion is a business. It's no different than selling shoes, tires, gasoline, or a pet store. It's business. And if you have a formula that works in business, what's the one thing that you will not do?
Change it. Yep.
And a perfect example is that place where I met you, that building,
mm-hmm,
who he says, well, Jim, I agree with what you say, but it's a little too absolute, which what he was saying is it's a little too brash, a little too harsh. And then he says, we may lose a few. He was more concerned about losing parishioners or hurting their feelings than he was throwing cold water in their face and saying, wake up, this is
right, wrong.
This is wrong. This is right. Think about this.
Yeah.
So if we do a show about consistency, I think we need to show consistency in more than one direction.
Okay.
Because then it gives people the opportunity on their own, because remember, it's their business, not ours.
Right.
That it gives somebody to say, okay, I was listening to the show, blah, 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 yada, 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 yahoo, yahoo, no, no, no. And I've been consistent this way, but I really need to switch gears and be consistent in another way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, you know, you think about, and of course this is a little twisted what I'm going to say, but you think about the people that have been consistent for years and years and years, but consistently wrong. They have learned how to do something in a form of a pattern with, in a sense, you could say, some sense of performance. It's wrong performance. It's not going anywhere, but there's consistency there. The fact that that's okay is what's really, in my sense, really twisted about religion.
See, last week we talked about, what did we talk about?
Well, fear.
Fear and
we talked about confidence.
Lack of confidence.
Yeah, that teeter-totter.
Right. Well, see, when we talked about fear and lack of confidence on last week's show.
Love casts out fear.
Right. That consistency is a good place to start this week,
mm-hmm,
because we can tie in last week's show about fear and confidence.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because if you're consistently failing,
mm-hmm,
you're not going to have any confidence.
No.
You're not.
Right.
You're just going to say, I am so, so screwed.
Right.
This isn't any different than my job. This isn't any different than school.
Well,
this is just life sucks and I suck and this is, there's nothing I can do about it. I might as well just make the best of a bad situation.
Yeah, I mean, there is this a point the other night at the Hardesty Library where I was talking about something, and I got really passionate about it.
What was your topic?
Well, I was talking about the exact same thing we talked about on the show, last show.
You were?
Yeah, the love casts out fear.
Okay.
And I shared some things because recently I've been in, connection again with some of the old nemesis of what I dealt with when I was in Prayer and Healing Center, and some of those teachers back then who weren't producing any results were coming up with their own ideas of why I got results, but they didn't. And their ideas at that time were because they were saying I had a special gift on my life, and the ministry position God put me in availed itself to miracles or healings.
You weren't a friendly ghost like me?
Right. Yeah, that's right. And so their position was that, because notice what it does. If it was across the board, just based on you being a Christian,
right,
a real one,
yeah,
then everybody should produce results. And that's what Jesus said when he said, I command you all, when you have a relationship, all of you, lay hands on the sick, make them well, cast out devils, speak in new tongues. He said it to everybody, all believers.
Yes.
But they would take what was happening and they would relate it to a special gift or a special time when the Holy Spirit wanted to do something outside of the norm.
They had to, because then that was their plan B that gave them a parachute to say, this is why I don't have jack going on, why I'm not getting anything done.
So now it went from there.
Consistently. Not
consistency. I know, but think of how this works. This really is how something plummets.
Yes.
Or how something goes forward.
Exactly.
Because now the same people are still there, and this is what they're telling the students with pounding on the chalkboard with passion, that you cannot have any instantaneous answer to a prayer by faith alone. It has to be the work of the Holy Ghost or a special gift on your life. They're pounding the board with passion preaching this.
Right.
Look at how far, I mean, I said the other night, At the library, I said, if it continues to go this way, it won't be long until they say that you can't even have a miracle or a healing or any answer to a prayer at all. See, it's going that direction.
Well, you know how they're going to accomplish that?
Hmm.
Because they've eliminated the Bible.
Oh, but they're preaching what they say that think the Bible's saying with great passion. It's terrible what's happening.
Last Sunday, the guys wanted me to leave the ranch. I didn't want to leave the, you know, I don't like leaving the ranch. So I left the ranch. I should have took Robin, but I didn't, you know, because she hasn't had all of her puppy shots yet, you know, so I'm really, you know, really watching her close, you know, so she doesn't get something. And, I went to two different places, and you know what? I saw over 1,000 people, and I saw only 10 Bibles.
Hmm.
How does that figure?
Hmm.
That's 1%.
Yeah.
Because if you go to that place that everything's on TV, there isn't even anybody at the front of the room.
Right.
It's on television. Why would you carry a big, heavy fat butt book? You wouldn't.
Well, no. And
the place that I met you, everything was up on a pulled from the ceiling projector screen.
But that's the new craze, so it's everywhere.
I remember, well, I just know that when I was a kid, that it didn't matter whether you were a Methodist or a Lutheran or a Catholic. Those were really the only, you know, places around me.
Right.
You were either a Methodist, a Lutheran, or a Catholic. And there wasn't very many Catholics. You were either Methodist or Lutheran. That every Sunday it would be, now turn to page. It was turn to page in the singing books. They had big
The hymnals.
Yeah, the big singing books.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but the Bibles, they would say, turn to, you know, Mark something, 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 something.
Chapter and verse.
Right. And then the guy at the front of the room would read right out of the book and everybody would follow.
So in my church when I grew up, they would say, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 1 and verse 5. And, oh, for those of you that are visiting here today, if you didn't bring a Bible with you, look right in front of
they
you.
They were. They were on the back of the chair, on the bench.
Right there in front of you.
Yep.
If you don't know where to turn, lean to your neighbor and they'll tell you exactly how to get there.
There was Bibles and singing books on the back of the benches.
Right.
And then there was tiny little miniature golf pencils.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I'm serious. They were little miniature golf pencils with little envelopes.
Right. For giving, yes.
Yeah, for giving money. I think if I was, I mean, I never would, but if I was ever going to start any type of organized group discussion of any kind.
Oh, please do.
You wouldn't be allowed in the door.
Right, if you didn't have your book.
There would be I would have a sign as big as a refrigerator freezer inside the front door, the foyer where people could hang their coats and stuff.
Right.
And it would say, pets welcome. And underneath it would say, no cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And then under that it'd say, if you don't have a book.
And you would probably put dimensions like.
Go get one.
8.5 by 15, so it couldn't be a little pocketbook.
Well, I don't care what size their little Bible is, but I'd say if you don't have a book with you, go get one. And then in parentheses, I'd say, if you're a family of five, then you should have five books. Or get out. Yeah.
Do it.
Because think about what that says categorically that the Bible is omitted. It's literally ignored. And it's not quoted properly.
Yeah.
I'm almost to the, you know, remember I said this. I think how many years we've been doing the show?
Over three.
Okay, I think I've said this four times, maybe five. Because there's a Thumper store in Tulsa off of 71st Street. For those of you that don't know what a Thumper store is, I call them Thumper stores. What are they called?
Christian bookstores.
Christian bookstores. I just call them Thumper stores because they thump real hard about, you know, God and Jesus. And I never knew there were so many different kinds of books. Can you believe this? My phone's ringing. I didn't turn it off. Okay, so anyways. And I'm done with calls, you know that. Uh-huh. But anyways, you know what I ought to do? Hold on. What I need to do is I need to put my phone where it don't ring. Okay. I wish that I would find a sack full of cash. You know, like a drug deal gone bad. Mm-hmm. I would take the guns and the money but leave the drugs on the side of the road.
Because,
you know, you can always sell the guns
or
give them to people who need one. And I would go down to that Thumper store and I'd say, okay, I have this big sack of drug money. And how many books can I buy? And then anybody that listens to your show, we'd send them one. We'd send them a book. And then once we knew that people had a Bible, we'd start saying to read along.
Right, right.
You know what? Maybe that's one of the things we should do for 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Start convincing people to go get one.
Be nice to ask how many people have one.
You know what? We'll do that. Maybe
that's homework assignment or something.
Yeah, next week's show.
Okay,
so we're going to talk about consistency on tonight's show.
Sounds good.
All right, so are you ready?
Hit the start button.
I'm not even on the right thing for the start button. All right, so you want to start the show?
You know, we made it through the holiday season without having Grandma get run over but once, I think.
Really, you want to bring that up? You really want to jinx us?
It just came to my mind.
You really want to jinx us?
It just came to my mind.
Never mind. There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart, and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose, to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Good evening, everybody. It's another Tuesday night, broadcasting from the ranch located in northeastern Oklahoma, centrally located in the United States of America. Today's date is the 12th of January, 2016, and it is just about 26, 27, 28 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. And as you can see, once again, we've had kind of an unusual beginning of the show. And last week, we did have technical difficulties. The show's puppy, the show's mascot, or the third person here in the barn, Robin, the little seven-week-old puppy, she decided to take a nap. And when she laid down, she laid on the master switch and everything got turned off. For a point of interest about last week's show, only the longest part, I guess you would say part two of last week's show, is streaming on the internet. But both parts will be on the show archives. And so one thing that you will be able to do is, after tonight's broadcast, you'll be able to go on the archives and you'll see that there will be a part A and a part B, or first part, second part. It'll be listed that way on the Abiding Presence archive page, and you'll be able to pick up on what you missed or what didn't get broadcast that you didn't hear on last week's show. We're here tonight. We've already been talking for about a half hour or so. And just to let you know, even though you're listening to this for the first time, Jim and I recorded this last Thursday. We recorded it last Thursday, the 7th. And Jim, where are you tonight exactly? Because even though this is a new show and they've never heard it before, you're not in the barn. It's just me and right. My puppy Robin sitting here making sure that it goes. Where are you?
I'm in Mexico, Tijuana.
Tijuana, Mexico. Mm-hmm. And you're doing what?
I'll be...
saving money on prescription drugs?
No. I'll be ministering to a bunch of people in Tijuana. Probably
but
a good 200
folks.
You
don't speak Spanish?
Well, just a little poco, just a little tiny bit. But no, I'll have interpreters.
No. Poquito is little.
Yeah, poquito.
Poquito means little.
Yep.
So you'll have a translator.
I'll have translator.
Mm-hmm. So then you're going to say something, and you have to pause to let them say it in Spanish.
Yes, but the pause doesn't have to be complete. In other words, we can talk at the same time, because what's really interesting is, for instance, right now, if there was Chinese in the background, you'd tune that out and you would hear English, because that's what you normally hear. So I don't...
Really? Yeah. I've never been in a situation like that,
yeah,
so I don't
so
know.
Yeah, so I don't say, well, Jesus is Lord and he is your way to heaven, and then I wait for him to say it. He starts to say it, and then I'll begin immediately to begin right in.
And this works?
Oh, yeah.
And they get it?
You get into a real flow.
Okay.
I mean, every once in a while... I do too much, and then
says,
someone will say, slow down.
Okay.
But for the most part, once you get into that rhythm, It's really nice.
Okay, just to let you know, folks, it's just Robin and myself here in the barn. Jim's in Mexico, supposedly talking to people. Who knows? He's out of the country. Mm-hmm. So that means that you can send a text message. You can send an email, but you won't get a response to your text message. But if you send an email while you're listening to tonight's broadcast, Robin and myself will send you an email right back. So you can communicate with me and Robin through email tonight, and I can just read the text messages. The way you text message the show, the first word that you type is Ranger, R-A-N-G-E-R, Ranger. And then you type the rest of your message, and when you press the send button, there is no one, there's no area code. It's just a five-digit number, 99000. So the first word you type is Ranger. And when you press the send button, it's 99,000. The way you send an email, and I hope you do send emails, folks, to say hello. Let me know you're out there listening, because it'll just be me and Robin here in the barn making sure that the show goes and Robin doesn't sit on the switch. It's the name of the radio show, The Abiding Presence. No capital letters, no spaces between The Abiding and Presence, all one word. And then the little at sign. And then G, the letter G as in grandma's gravy, gmail.com. Okay, so we've been talking so far around consistency and what consistency really means. You know, there's a lot of words that mean a lot of things. And it's kind of like a color. Pick a color. Blue, black, gray. Yellow, orange, it really doesn't matter because there. Have you gone to a paint store lately and seen how many blue colors of paint there are?
Yeah.
How many shades of gray? How many shades of yellow? I mean, honestly, I think there's just too many. Because after a while, let's say I want to paint this wall blue. Well, if you go to a paint store, trust me, folks, you're going to get a headache because you're just going to see so many blues that you're going to say, I don't know anymore. Okay, well, consistency is a word that has a lot of meanings, a lot of directions to it, because you can be consistently wrong, consistently right. You can be consistently neutral, which means you're not going anywhere. And Scripture talks about consistency. Now, remember something, that Christ, that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, grace, the guys, all four of them are consistently endless and boundless, which means they have no limits. So in spiritual terms, Christ is consistently always getting larger, powerful, better, and going more places.
Right.
It's
right.
Not stagnant. So subsequently, if you take the phrase, you were made in my image, you will do greater works than me, then that means when you apply the word consistency on a Christian basis, it means that you too should have forward progress, always developing, always going forward, always doing new and more exciting things. Because if you're consistently in neutral, or you're consistently shifted into park, then that is contrary to Scripture and the direct description of Christ.
Yeah.
Did you like that?
Yeah, I did.
I just made that up.
You did?
Well, I make everything up on the spot.
I make it up.
Make it up, it comes out of my mind. You think I'm reading from a menu here?
Well, I know you're not. Your book is actually holding up the credenza out in the
my book
living room. Yeah,
there's no Bible in the living room.
Oh, I thought that's where you said it usually was, holding up one of the edges of
the table. So it's wobbly.
Yeah,
I don't know where it is. I don't know. It might be in the chicken coop because the water was wobbly. I don't know where the book is right now. But you know what? Oh, you're gonna love this. You're gonna love this today. Today I went to the feed store real quick. Right. This lady comes up to me in the feed store. I've never seen her before. And remember last week's show where we talked about, you know, how I said, you know, the BJ Bible.
Right.
You know, she says, I want, she says, can I, she says, can I order a BJ Bible?
Oh, really?
And I says, and it threw me for such a loop. I go, what? And she goes, a BJ Bible. I want the BJ book. The
yeah.
book, no. And then she says, I'm sorry, I mean the book. She says, the book of BJ. That's what she says. She says, I want the book of BJ. And I started laughing. And the owner of the feed store says, yeah, I'd like to read a book of BJ one time.
I bet he would. He has no idea what he's talking about.
No, he really didn't know what we were talking
no,
about.
No, not at
okay,
all.
Okay, so read.
Okay, so I want to read this because, again, I want to share for a second. Of course, there's enough in the Bible to substantiate very much so what we're talking about for the sake of us. We the people being consistent or having a consistency, a forward progress, success. But I want to read for just a second the idea that God himself is filled with consistency. I mean, from one end to the other. Jesus healed this guy at what was called the Pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5. And when the guy got up, started walking around, he was carrying his bed. And Jesus told him to do that. And, of course, the Pharisees were mad because he was carrying his bed. They made a law that you can't do anything on the Sabbath, which was their own man-made laws. Well, when the guy finally figured out, because Jesus went to him and said, hey, I'm the one that actually healed you, made you well, he was able to tell the Pharisees it was Jesus that did it. Well, when they questioned Jesus about it, Jesus answered and said, my Father is always working. He has never ceased working. He is still working. And I, too, must be working. Well, the reason why this is really interesting is this defies everything that the Pharisees were trying to establish, which is everything stops. In other words, they're making a law on the Sabbath that everything shuts down and it stops. And Jesus is saying, even God the Father is always working. He's always doing something. And so the point that I like is it says Jesus said, I too must always be working. So the fact that there is a lack of progress in anybody shows that we have stopped our forward progress because God is always progressing. Now I want to take that thought a little further over into Philippians and in the Amplified Version, chapter 2 and verse 13. And everybody turn in your Bible to Philippians 2. And verse 13.
There you go. We're going to start doing it.
It's right after the book of Ephesians, which is right after the book of Galatians. So anyhow, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, notice what this says. It says, for God is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire to do of his will and to work for his good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. Notice it says here, and it puts the emphasis on, God is all the while effectually at work. There is a consistency in God that every second of the day, every moment of your life, he is at work in you. And it tells us here what we should be expecting for us to experience from God's side toward us. Energy, creative power, and desire to accomplish or to be successful in what God has given us the right to be successful in, that is this life. So the first thing I want to do is show you that from God's side toward you, there's a consistency. And I'm going to add this. I know I'm kind of going on a little bit, but I'm going to add this thought to it. If I can't count on somebody to be consistent, then where is my confidence? If I can't bank on somebody to be there when they're supposed to be there and to do what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to be there, how can I perform at my level if I need to be connected to them and they're inconsistent? It's the very fact that God, first and foremost, is the consistency of everything. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord God and I change not. He is consistent, and it's his consistency that gives you the boldness and the confidence to be consistent as well.
I like that. Hey, do me a favor. Plug the fan in. It's unplugged.
Okay.
Because Robin was chewing on the cord the other day, but plug it in and stick it on medium, would you? It's kind of warm in here with all the machines on and everything.
Okay.
folks, well, I want you to consider for just a second now, because you've been listening to consistency for about 40 minutes, and the problem with language, and I can't speak intelligently for any other country other than the United States of America, but here in the United States of America, I can speak to you about this. I've written 17 books, and I am here to tell you that the editing and publishing world and the way newspapers, magazines, and books are published, and the way that they do the 10 o'clock news, the way sportscasters talk to you, and the way radio and television addresses the masses is not the language of the people. There's not a lot of slang. There's not a lot of misuse of verbs and adjectives and running long sentences and commas and periods and exclamation points.
That was pretty good.
In the wrong place. But in the real world of communication, it's not about your high school English teacher's thoughts on your homework assignments. And what I'm trying to say is, on a daily basis, people just don't use a lot of the words that are used in organized religion or even in that are written in books. And consistency is not a word that's heard a lot, perhaps in school or at your job, but with your neighbor or someone in the grocery store or maybe another parent in the stands at a soccer game or baseball game, probably not. Because not even regularity. Usually it's all the time. This is all they do. This is what happens all the time. This is all I can accomplish. No matter what, this is what happens. Well, that is really bad English. It's bad grammar, but you know what? It's really an excellent definition of the word consistency. Why are you laughing at me?
Because you really said something that I can't get out of my head.
Which was what?
Which is a perfect example of what you're talking about, that the modern language and editing, and I get it, I understand, does not speak the language of the people.
No,
you were trying to say run on sentence, and you said run along, and then you went to say running along sentence.
Yeah, it was just
it's just very funny.
Yeah, when I the first book I ever wrote, I got it was accepted by four different publishing companies in New York. They all liked it. They all wanted to publish it. They all wanted to send me advance checks. And the problem was, I didn't want to deal with all four of them because they says, we're really going to have to edit your book. We've really got to change the way you say things and the way you've written things.
Yeah.
And I go, why? And they says, well, it's not grammatically correct. And there's a lot of run on sentences. Mm-hmm. And there's better ways to say this, more efficient ways.
Right.
And I said, you can't do that. And they says, why? And I says, because I am here to tell you that it can be a college professor of English lit, or it can be somebody that can't read or write their own name. And when those two people are in the alleyway of a barn or standing out in a pasture, they're going to say it just like this to each other, because that is the language of people with horses.
Yeah, that's good.
And I says, I'll bet you a shiny new dime that you can take horses out and say it about dog people, cat people, hamster people.
Right.
I says, when two people or a group of people are sitting around on feed sacks and plastic upside down buckets and bales of hay, no one's going to worry about grammar and diction.
You know, BJ, this is, well, I'm glad we're touching it, but this is, I think, an awesome show for the future, and that is,
well,
what is the language of a real Christian,
Barnes and Nobles is a big supporter of my books. And the lady who decided, there's a lady, well, I guess she still is. There was a lady that was in charge of deciding whose books Barnes & Nobles are going to sell.
Okay.
And they get 600 applications a week from self-publishers. And so it was quite a compliment because she says she picks two books a month. So out of thousands of books, she's picked several of mine. And she said the same thing. She says, when I started reading your book, I just went, oh, my God, this is bad. Mm-hmm. You know, he's self-published. He really needed an editor, you know. And then she says, well, then I handed it to a friend of mine that has had horses her whole life. And I said, read one chapter. And she says, well, I read the whole book. This is amazing. I love this book. She says, it's understanding. It's real clear. You know, it.
Right.
You know, she says, it's the first book I've read that I didn't have to read something again.
That I get.
And she says, it was like he was talking to me in my barn.
Okay. That's my point.
But hold on. When it comes to the word consistency and what consistency means to the people, each person listening to the show is going to have to decide what the word consistency or constant means to them. Whether it's regularity, the same thing, something that always happens. Is it like the old joke? There was two brothers, Pete and Repeat. There was two brothers, Pete and Repeat. There was two brothers. You know, that's right, consistent. Right. And so my point is that when it comes to consistency with Christ and how you worship and what happens, what's the fruit of your labor? I mean, what are you getting out of it? If you're worshiping and praying for 10 hours and nothing happens, when are you going to say, I'm consistently unsuccessful? Nothing's going on
here. That's right. Yeah, I mean.
Okay, so what were you going to say then?
Oh, well, just on a side note, I think it would be a great topic talking about what is the language of a real Christian versus the language of religion. Because the language of religion.
Well, that's a big difference.
Well, I know. It's a huge difference. And in fact, to be honest.
We can't really get into it because we'll screw things up.
No, I know. And I won't. But I'll just say this much because it goes along with your book story and the lady that was a horse lady that understood it. The more that we've been talking on the ranch for the last 4 years, the more in my messages and in my sermons, the things that I teach, the more comments people say, I mean, this is amazing. I'm getting this. I mean, it's just the way that you're saying things. It's the way that if I share a story of what you said, it's the way he said what he said. In other words, I'm starting to change the way I say things, becoming more ranchified, and it's causing people to actually get it better.
Well, it just goes back to dealing with people of all ages, all income levels, race, creed, color, religion over my whole life. It's like somebody'd say, well, who owns a horse? I'd say, who owns a dog? Who owns a cat? Who has a goldfish bowl?
Right.
And I'd say, well, that could be anybody. And it says, well, hello, anybody can own a horse. And I just, there's a way. And see, it isn't just about religion or horses. It can be about tires. It can be about television shows. It really doesn't matter. There is, and that's what makes it difficult for a lot of people, because maybe they just don't read books. That doesn't mean you're stupid or just because you don't read books. It means you don't read books. Maybe you don't have time to read a book. Maybe you don't like to read. Maybe it bores you to death. I mean, as our society evolves, we get farther away from books.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
You know, people don't like to read a book, but you know what they like to do? They like to download books, and then their machine talks to them. Mm-hmm. And reads the book for them while they're driving and stuff.
Right, right. Listen to a book.
See, I love books. You know, well, you've seen how many books I have. Mm-hmm. I love books. I love the sound of a page turning, the texture of the paper in my fingers,
The
well, I'm sure it's exciting when you turn the pages as fast as you do. When you turn them as fast as I do, you've got plenty of time in the middle to get bored.
All right. Touché. Point taken.
So let me say this of this subject. I shared the word there from John 5:19, where Jesus, you know, was up against the Pharisees because he said, the Father is working and I'm working. In other words, he's busy, I'm busy, and guess what happens when we're busy? Boom. Results. Now I look at these couple scriptures, and I'm going to put them together because we in the quote-unquote word of faith movement, people that are really very strong adherence to speaking the word of God, healings, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit, these type of things that are very much a part of the truth of a real believer. But we are very much into speaking the word, reading the word, meditating the word, speaking the word, reading the word, meditating the word, on and on and on we go. And we've made comments on this show that I believe to be 100% accurate, that we are really good at selling Christ. This is one of BJ's comments.
Yeah.
But we're not good at doing Christ, living Christ. Or we could say it this way. We're real good at worshiping the book, but we're not really good at worshiping God himself. So for all of you that are very much adhere to speaking the word, quoting the word, which in a sense I do too, look at the angle that Jesus gives to it over in John chapter 8, verse 28. He said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Now notice, Jesus is a doer of the Father's word. Jesus speaks the Father's word. In fact, let me say this to really make this point. John chapter 12, and I'll start in verse 49. Jesus said, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father told me, so I speak. So you could say this, folks. Jesus confessed the word. Jesus spoke his Father's word. Jesus did what his Father did. But let me share something with you. Everything he spoke, everything he did, it turned into results.
Yeah.
So if you're speaking the word, if you're doing the word, and you're not seeing results, you have a consistency, but it's not going where Jesus's consistency went.
And I think one of the points of the show for folks that I'd like to advise you is to after the show is over, maybe tomorrow or the next day or whenever, is just look, just sit back like a fly on the wall, and don't be depressed if you don't like your answer or don't, it's not that big of a deal, but just see what type of consistency you're dealing with. Are you dealing with a positive consistency where you're growing, you're learning, you're becoming closer to the guys, or do you have a consistency that basically your engine's on, but you've got your foot on the brake, the parking brake's on, and you're shifted into park.
Yeah.
You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that organized religion, like most businesses, tire stores, ice cream, Sears and Roebuck, it really doesn't matter. They're really good about representing you to be a repeat customer, to come back. They want consistency. And the way they do that is they find out what you like best, and then they keep providing you with it, so that you feel comfortable and that you come back. One of the reasons that Kentucky Fried Chicken, McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, all those fast food restaurants across the country are so successful is they're very consistent in providing the same food that looks the same and tastes the same at the same price, no matter where you are. See, everything is about consistency. If you have one of those discount shopping cards, like your grocery store has some kind of a membership card, and if you present your card, they swipe it and there are special food items that are for sale in your local grocery store, but you can't get the sale items unless you have the member card or the reward card. Like, you go to the checkout stand and the checkout person says, "Are you a member of the store? Do you have your rewards card, your discount card?" And you say, "Oh yeah." And sometimes it's just a little barcode on a keychain. And they swipe it and they say, "Oh, see, you got your lettuce at 50% off, but it's only for members."
Yeah.
Okay. What they do is that goes into a computer, and they know that you like to buy lettuce and that you buy lettuce a lot. And so on Facebook, on the internet, you'll start to get fresh vegetable information and cooking information. So there is a consistency of progress. The point is, look inside your own life and see what kind of consistencies do you have. Because if you think that you don't know what the word means, that you're not consistent with anything, and that there's nothing for you to look at, you are so, so mistaken.
Right. You know, I want to add to that.
You could be consistently mistaken.
That's right. I want to add to that a thought about, you know, just the inward evaluation of yourself. And that is this. Galatians chapter 5 really makes a strong statement and a point that you're either of the flesh or you're of the spirit.
Yeah.
You're either going the direction of your flesh or the spirit. And if you have a consistent, when you begin to evaluate yourself, you will have a consistency. It may be you're more consistent. Your percentages are higher on the area of your flesh. And Paul says, okay, well, here's what the flesh looks like. It looks like adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbirth of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I before tell you, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, he gives you a list here, and I advise you to look at that list maybe in the Message Bible. It's a little bit, we talk about the words. It's easier to understand through the message. Then he goes on to give you a small list, and it's only a small list, of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And if you look for consistencies, are you going to find a greater percentage of the consistency of the Spirit, or are you swimming in the consistencies of the flesh? Because it's going to be one way or the other, and we want to begin to progress until we tip the scale toward the consistency of the Spirit and your connection with God.
See, now, if that was the book of BJ,
uh-huh,
and they were talking about things that were wrong consistently, there would be skim milk, 2% milk, margarine.
Go on. I like it.
Fake sugar.
I won't have bread if the place serves margarine.
Yeah.
I forget it. I won't do it.
Fake bread.
Yeah.
Ice milk instead of ice cream.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
How about hot dogs with the garbage in it versus a real beef dog?
I don't know. You know, I grew up, I always knew that hot dogs were a cornucopia of body parts.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really...
Didn't bother you?
No, but I will say this, that I eat at least one or two hot dogs a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I buy really super expensive hot dogs that are in a natural casing.
Yep.
And they're tied together like in a string.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like 100%, you know, no, you know, they're really, I mean, they're god-awful expensive.
Mm-hmm. But they're good, aren't they?
Yeah, they're about $3 a dog.
Hmm.
And so you get six dogs, and you're looking at around $18, $19 for just a package of six.
You know, one of the best hot dogs I ever had as far as taste?
What?
Was a street vendor.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do to them, but oh, my goodness.
You know why they taste so good?
Uh-uh.
Because, number one, they're boiled, and they sit in that juice all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But the secret, now this is true, the secret to a good hot dog is actually the bread. The steamed bread makes all the difference in the world.
Hmm.
If the bread is warm or the bread is steamed, that will make up for a bad-tasting hot dog, hands down. But see, I'm a connoisseur because I eat them plain. No relish, no mustard, no chili. Uh-huh. It's just the dog and bread. So I really, yeah, I don't steam my hot dog buns, but I put them in the microwave in a wet towel.
You know what's funny is you eat your dog naked in a sense, you know, just in the bun.
Yep.
Okay, Chloe eats a hamburger naked just in the bun.
I do too, yeah.
Okay, talk to me about how hard is it to order?
It's
a hamburger with nothing on it, and they'll say, okay, so you want cheese on it, though?
Yeah, you want lettuce? Do you want tomato?
No, nothing on it. Well, you want ketchup, though, with it, right?
Yeah.
No, just nothing on
it. Or then they say, well, what do you want on the side?
Yeah.
Do you want your lettuce and tomato on the side?
Oh, my goodness. And then
I go, no, I want it on the floor. I don't want it.
And before you leave the drive-through window, you have to open that up and check because there'll be cheese on it or there'll be something else on
there's
it.
There's only one. You know, it's kind of interesting about this because people thought I was crazy. And I showed them I printed off there was a giant national hamburger research done in 2015.
Uh-huh.
And there is a chain of hamburger restaurants in Oklahoma that made the top five.
Really?
Yeah.
What's their chain?
Whataburger. Remember how I always tell you to go there?
Yeah.
And people say they don't like them because they're greasy or... Uh-huh. You know, and I say, well, the reason a Whataburger hamburger is greasy is because it has beef in it. You know, I says artificial ingredients, they're not greasy. There's no, you know, there's no real meat in them. That's why they're not greasy. But yeah, but see, I don't go to drive through. I go inside and I say, this is what I want. Hmm. And this is how I want it. Hmm. You know, I want two patties on Texas toast. And
you're getting to salivate a little bit there, aren't you?
Hot dogs, hamburgers.
I know.
And considering what we did today.
I'm watching swallow right there in the middle of it.
Well, I'm eating candy. But, you know, what did we do today here on the ranch? Well, not on the ranch, but I took everybody to town.
You took everybody that worked on a special fence.
A big fence job. I took everybody
to
town.
To
a giant buffet.
Yep.
American food.
Yes.
And everybody, this buffet had a cotton candy machine, a chocolate fountain that you could dip anything in chocolate, even a chicken wing in chocolate if you wanted.
And I saw people there with two and three plates.
Massive plates.
That were stacked at least 6 inches high.
This is true. Yes.
And they got there before we got there, and they were there,
After
we left.
And we stayed and hung out and
for
socialized.
For an hour and 10 minutes, we were there.
Is that all?
No, maybe an hour and 20.
That's it?
No, you know what? You got there at, when did you get there?
We sat down at
1:15, right?
No, yeah, 1:15 is when we sat down.
We got up at about 1:35.
Yeah, that's okay. That's
so an hour and 20 minutes.
Wow,
so
longer.
So, I have not seen people eat like that. Oh my gosh!
And then somebody stood up and everybody toasted me.
Yeah,
that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Even you toasted me.
Yeah, the best fence.
The best fence and the best boss.
Yeah, the best boss, best fence.
Best fence, best boss. I was toasted by 8 people who were obviously. Overdosed on carbohydrates.
So,
and
I'm wondering if Stovetops.
But what did I eat? What was on my? I had two plates, and what was on my plate?
Protein.
Nothing but meat.
Yeah.
No vegetables.
Oh,
nothing.
I did really well today. I had lots of vegetables.
You had a salad.
And I had a salad, and then I had rotisserie chicken. But
yeah, I had two full. All I did was walk around the buffet, and I ate. And I didn't have no chicken, no like breaded. I had pot roast. Did you see they had liver?
No, I didn't get liver.
Yeah, I had two helpings of liver, fried liver. I had pot roast.
Is that what you were eating? The meat you were eating? Liver?
Yeah, I had two orders. I had two helpings of liver. I had a big helping of pot roast, but no vegetables with it. And then I had the Chinese chicken was kind of too spicy for me. But the Chinese beef, it was good. Hmm. And then I had three helpings of meatloaf. But yeah, all I ate was meat. And then for dessert, I had cotton candy and ice cream and German chocolate cake.
Yeah.
People don't care about this stuff.
No.
Okay, folks, I want to make an announcement. The show's a little over an hour old, If you've sent a text message and you haven't heard it read on the show, it's because Jim is, where are you?
I am tonight. No, I'm
the 12th of January.
Yeah, but the 11th I was in San Diego, and the 13th I'm in San Diego, but the 12th I'm actually in Tijuana, Mexico.
And Robin, my new puppy, Robin and I are in the barn, and we can't respond to text messages, but if you've been sending emails, by now you know Rob and I are sending you emails back. The way you email the show, and please send emails, say hi to me. Me and Robin are in the barn making sure that you can hear the show and making sure that Robin doesn't sit on the master switch like she did last week. And so we're talking about consistency and what that means. There's something that I would like you guys to consider when you're listening to tonight's broadcast is that your life is full. I mean, your lives are full. You've got so much going on, and you're going in every direction. And I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but there's a life is kind of interesting. It's kind of like a mountain. When you're a kid, you're on the flat plains, which means that time drags on. I mean, if somebody says that you've got to stay in the house for a couple of hours, it seems like it's a lifetime. You go, oh my gosh, hours. I can't believe I got to be in the house hours. And then as you grow older and you have more going on in your life, a couple of hours really doesn't seem that long. And your life really starts to speed up around the age of 25. And by the time you're in your 30s, and the time you're in your 40s, and by the time you're in your 50s, you're on the peak of that life mountain. And time flies by. Because you're really not measuring thing in hours anymore. You're not even measuring thing in days. You're measuring thing in weeks. And you are so busy, and your time is so consumed, and you're going in so many different directions that you just can't believe how old you are. Oh my gosh, I am 50 years old. I'm 45. I'm 60. It just seems like I was in my 20s or 30s in the blink of an eye ago. Life has just gone by so fast. And then as you're in your late 60s and 70s and 80s, it's just the opposite. You're back down on level ground on the plains, and time just seems to drag because you're not busy anymore. You're retired. You're disabled. Whatever the case may be, hours just drag on, and one day and another day is just seems like forever because you're not as busy anymore. Now, when it comes to tonight's topic, consistency, and Jim and I have asked you to look at yourself as to, are you progressing? Do you have advancements? Are you consistently getting more and more out of your relationship with Christ? Or are you consistently going nowhere, just spinning your wheels in the mud, so to speak? Exactly. How consistently busy are you? How much time are you really giving yourself to examine your relationship with Christ? Because a lot of people, and organized religion is really good at this, they'll tell you 45 minutes on a Sunday morning and 45 minutes on a Wednesday night, and maybe an hour on a Friday or Saturday night, and you're getting all you need. I'm not saying it's about volume, but I'm saying it's about, as you think about consistency and evaluating what consistency means to you, perhaps you may want to look at the clock on the wall and the calendar in your checkbook and say, what type of consistency of worship? What type of consistency of focus? What type of consistency or lack of consistency am I giving my goal to be a Christian and to have a relationship with the guys?
You know, there's a book, Practicing the Presence of God, and it's by...
Never heard of it.
It's by Father Lawrence, okay?
So, Father, does that mean he's Catholic?
He probably would have been
back
in the
day. Or is he a Jesuit priest? Or
yeah, I mean, this is back, like, you know, not long after Christ. I mean, this is...
you're saying this is like 2,000 years ago book.
Well, yeah, like there was a monk, you know, that was... and he was the model for Father Lawrence, picked up his idea and began to run with it. But their whole idea, and this book is all a journal of, is it possible to have the thoughts of God on your mind every minute of the day? And he set out to see if that were possible. And you see his journey go to the place where literally his thoughts with God and his communion was 24/7 and how it changed his life. And it was the small progressions. At first, it was difficult. There wasn't a good consistency. Why? Because it was normal that his consistency, his thoughts were everywhere else.
Yeah, lots going on.
But he had to change that, and it began to evolve until the results, as it began to tip the scale, started to outweigh the results of what he used to have.
Well, it's like Tibetan monks will spend weeks. They don't go to the bathroom. They don't eat. They don't drink. They don't speak to another person. They're just in deep meditation.
Which is amazing that the physical body can do that, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but see, if you have a relationship with the guys, what are they going to do?
Right. Suspend you. Yep.
See, that people just don't get the fact. They'll say, well, I can't spend all that time because I have bills to pay. I have a job. I have a family. I have a responsibility. And what they're really saying is that God isn't powerful enough, or they're not close enough to God, that grace won't help them.
Right.
And Scripture says just the opposite.
Right. And so now
put me first, and everything else will be aces. Should be dandy.
And then you go back to what we talked about last week. Love casts out fear.
Perfect love.
Perfect love, yeah.
But tell people what perfect love is, though.
Well, perfect love, first of all, God's perfect love toward you is the work that he did through Christ, a perfect work to perfect you. But perfect love in you is your experience of that love, your experience of that work, your experience of God himself. I'm over in Joshua 1 and verse 8, and I wanted to connect this to the whole idea of Jesus, who was speaking the words of his Father and doing the actions of his Father. I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. All scriptures, but the importance of those scriptures is found right here in the command of God to Joshua, a young leader that was taking over for Moses. And he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. I've got some other scriptures here, some other translations that say it this way. A Moffat's translation says, the law book you shall never cease to have on your lips. You must pore over it day and night, that you may be mindful to carry out all that is written in it. For you shall then make your way prosperous, and you shall succeed. Notice that the end of your speaking and the end of your doing what the Bible says is the results and the success and the prosperity of having a relationship with God. Remember, if you're speaking the word, if you're reading the word, and you're doing it more than you've ever done, and you still don't have healings, you still don't have the results of the fruits of the Spirit in your life, you still don't have answers to prayers, something's wrong, because the mathematical equation given in Joshua 1:8 and what I read to you about Jesus is their progress of reading and speaking is to experience God himself. Well,
what?
What do you think?
Oh, are you done?
Yeah, I was done.
I was just out of curiosity, I was checking for emails.
Yeah.
To see if there was any emails I could read on the show.
Right.
You know, as we're, because we're pre-recording this.
Sure.
We actually recorded this last Thursday, the 7th.
Did anybody send an email in?
We have, it's kind of ironic. It's in the spam folder again. That lady that sent the blanket that Ranger is lying on, Robin.
Do you have the ability to take her out of the spam and put it into?
I don't know how to do that. She says that. It says, "Hi, BJ, Jim, and Robin. I have one listening tonight." She, remember, because her roommates are afraid of God.
Right.
And I said I was chasing them around her house.
Yeah.
She says, "Hi, BJ, Jim, and Robin. I have one listening tonight, so my emails end up in the spam, ? What is up with that, ? Click not spam. Eventually I will get all my roommates to listen. Great subject tonight."
There should be a way to click not spam.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah. It would be up in the bar above the message. It should say...
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Remove label spam from this conversation.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that was from the conversation. I'm not having a conversation because I'm just reading the email. You think maybe that will eliminate it from being in spam ever again?
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. But just to, you know what it has made me do, though, is since she's in spam.
To check it every once in a while, huh?
To check spam to make sure that, you know, we're not missing other people's emails on the show. And speaking of email show, it's me and Robin here in the barn by ourselves tonight as Jim is out of the country, literally. So make sure that you say hi and send me an email. And I will respond to your emails. And so anyways. Okay, so do you think so far is this going the way you wanted it to go?
Yeah.
Okay, because once again, I wasn't real clear about how you wanted this to go.
Yeah, I do like the way that it's going. I see that this is.
Have you got more scripture that talks about consistent?
Yeah. I mean, I've got a couple examples of individuals.
Fire some up.
Well, this is Paul here talking. And I'm gonna read here what he has to say, and you'll hear in what I'm saying or what I'm reading, you'll hear the consistency of how Paul did things. And you know, really, when you think about it, you can't get away from certain verses. So I'm gonna give this verse over there in Matthew chapter 6, our verse that talks about the flowers, it talks about the birds. Jesus is talking about seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. There's a portion there in verse 19 and 20 where it talks about where your treasure is where your heart will be also. Well, in the Message Bible, it says where your treasure is where you will most want to be and where you will find yourself being. So you really can't get away, and this is really, I mean, it's very absolute, and it's very telling on yourself and on myself. You can't get away from the idea that if you're not experiencing him like you ought, it's because your treasure is really somewhere else. Your affection is somewhere else. The things that you actually desire more, even if you say you desire God more, it's the things that you spend your time with. It's the things that you're more emotional about, that you're more attached to, and you're more passionate about is really the things that you have your affections in. And that's going to be where you're going to produce results. So doing, you know, the inward process of elimination to find out if you have more consistency with your flesh or more consistency with your spirit is a really great thing. But listen to Paul now. I know in the background we can hear little Robin barking a little bit.
I don't think it's coming over the microphone.
No, I don't think so, but I can hear it too. This is what Paul said. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Look at what Paul did. The things that were important were all the religious things that Paul was involved with that actually not only kept him from Christ, caused him to literally be so blinded that he was persecuting and killing people that found Christ. Talk about having your consistency in the wrong place. He said, all those things that were so important are gone from my life compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my Savior firsthand. Everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by Him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience His resurrection power, and be a partner in His suffering and go all the way with Him to death itself. Look at the consistency. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. Then he goes on to say, I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and I'm running and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on the goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, there's your consistency. God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. That's pretty good, isn't it? It really describes what we're talking about.
It does. Now, where was that last one from?
That was Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, and I read all the way through verse 16.
I think we need to do that. We're going to start doing that. We're going to start
putting a little more emphasis on chapter verse.
Yeah, even more.
Having the Bible with you so that you can turn. Which means as we do this, I'll pause a little bit to give them time to get there.
We will. Yeah.
Yeah, that's real good. We kind of used to do that a little bit.
Yeah, but we're not bad. But you get all wound up sometimes and you just like...
Do it fast.
You say them too fast.
Yeah.
It'd be hard for someone to say, what? What'd he say? That I wish there was a way we could send books to everybody. I think that'd be really cool.
Maybe we can someday.
I mean, I know how to do it. I just don't know how we could do it. That's right. I know how to do it. I know how to get it done.
You know, it'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it, to customize our own cover, like the Ranch Bible or something.
Really? I don't know.
I don't
know.
It could be fun.
I don't know. Maybe, I guess. That's kind of... I don't know. See, all we'd have to do is go to the Thumper store and say, hi, my name's BJ. This is Jim. I have a radio station in my barn. We've been doing it for X amount of years.
Yeah.
And this is what we talk about. And we will mention your Thumper store as headquarters. And what we want you to do is... We're going to pick out a book out of all the books. I mean, have you ever been in that store? Of course
well,
you
sure.
have.
Sure.
Well, what is it, like 5 miles from your house? 4 or 5 miles?
A little bit further than that, about 8.
And because, you know, I've been in there with people before, and you know what they do? It is such a big store, and it's all-encompassing. They can put your name on books
in
the store.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, no, they can.
Well, I know. I've got some with my name on it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we could go in there and say, this is what we want to do. We want people that listen to the show to have a book that want a book. And this is the book that we want, that we pick out. See, I want to make sure that it's big enough so that the print is big enough that everybody can underline and make marks and things, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it to be like some Rand McNally roadmap that you can't fold back up once you unfold it.
Sure.
I want it to be a book of substance, of size.
Yeah.
You know, that if you throw it at a bird, it'll kill the bird.
Oh, gee. Okay.
You know? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you hit somebody with it, they're going down for the count. You'll knock them out.
Yeah.
And so... We could pick out a book, and then we could say, okay, all the books are coming from your Thumper store, and we want people to be able to call your store, mention the radio show, and for X amount of whatever it would cost, they can have their name on it, and the store would send the books because they're getting all their books by UPS or FedEx or somebody.
Right.
You know, they're out in the middle of that parking lot in front of, what is that, Best Buy? What's that big store behind them?
Well, yeah, that's Best Buy, but that's only one store. I mean, Mardell's is the real big one. That's over there by...
there's another store in town?
Yeah, by Dick's Sporting Goods. Yeah, this is three times the size of the one you're talking about.
Oh, it is?
Mardell's, yeah.
How can it be three times as big? What do they possibly have?
Well, they've got shirts, they've got memorabilia, they've got all kinds of stuff in there. But, I mean, it's a
huge
store.
No, I want to go to that little store because, well, is Mardell's part of a chain?
Yeah.
Mardell's is a chain of Thumper stores?
Yeah.
Okay, but that little store isn't, is it?
I don't think so.
I think it's an independent store, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know me. You know me and American small businesses. No, I don't want to go to the big chain store. I want to go to that little store, especially if it's just owned by a family or something, mm-hmm. and that's the only store in existence. That's grace, mm-hmm. helping that store out.
Sure.
You know, a big chain, if they're selling socks and underwear, they're fine. That, I don't know. We're just chit-chatting.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe we're broadcasting this conversation.
No, it's good.
Well, it's not like it's the first time we've been off topic, is it?
No.
We're consistently off topic.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I just cracked myself up. That was good, wasn't it? All right. We're winding down in tonight's broadcast. And what do you want to say about consistency that you want people to think about? Or?
Well, what I want them to think about is, and this is something I want them to think about in every area of their Christian walk, and that is you can't apply yourself to grace without grace applying itself to you. That's really impossible because grace is everywhere.
Say that again?
You can't apply yourself to grace without grace applying itself to you. In other words, the idea that you can spin in circles and not see results is literally a devilish idea, a very religious idea. I want you to open up your hearts and minds and just begin to consider that God wants you to experience Him, you could almost say, more than you want to experience Him yourself. And you look at everything from God's perspective towards you, and there's nothing but 1,000% in your corner God is. And He's there for you. He's constantly working in you. If your heart was open so that you could experience His energy, His power, His ability to perform, to experience Him, to be successful, God is a Father way beyond any earthly father. Jesus even made comments that said, if you being an earthly father wouldn't give a serpent to your child if they asked for a piece of bread, how much more would your heavenly Father give all things to you if you ask Him? So the idea that we get used to asking without receiving, praying without an answer, and we get used to that, and then we become fearful on this wrong road of feeling like it's just never going to work. Get off of that train. Get off of that teeter-totter. What I'd like you to see tonight is the consistency of not works mentality, but the consistency of your heart to pursue God is met by the grace of God for you to find Him and enjoy Him. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay. What I want to say is I hope sometime either I figured out on my own or the guys enlighten me, or maybe a listener clues me in, but I just don't get it. I don't get this, and I just think it is just so ridiculous, and it's this. If you're in line at the grocery store and you're in a hurry, and it says 12 items or less, and there's someone in front of you with a basket, and that basket looks pretty full, you will take the time to try to figure out how many items are in that little hand basket. If someone is ahead of you in that 12 items or less, and you're in a really big hurry, and there is somebody ahead of you that has a shopping cart, and you have counted it three times, and there are 21 items in their cart, you will focus on it. If you go to a tire store to get a flat tire fixed, they tell you it's fixed. They tell you they stand behind their workmanship. They're really friendly. You think, wow, this is great. You got me in and out fast. This is good because I was late for work today. You go home, you park your car in the driveway, you come out in the morning to go to work, and the same tire is flat. You're going to be late to work, and it's a flat tire again. You will have words for that tire store, or you will just write them off and say, that's the world's worst tire store. I'll never go back there, and I will find somebody to fix this right the first time. If you go to a big box store and buy anything, and it says lifetime warranty, and if you lose the receipt, you use it other than manufacturer's recommended directions, and it's been 2 years, you will still try to take it back to the store because it has a lifetime warranty.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you go to a restaurant and they bring you the wrong salad dressing on your salad, you want the right dressing on your salad. You like things the way you like it. You expect results. And when you spend your time and spend your money, you expect to get what is promised. Now, this is what I don't understand. You are extremely consistent with this type of thought and behavior. So am I. And Jim is nodding his head yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about tonight's show being consistent. What I don't understand is, why do you not have the same consistency when it comes to the results of Christ? Why are you willing to pray, to worship, to participate, to join, to tithe and give money on a regular basis without some substantial return? How does that make sense? Because for some reason, I don't know if it's in our DNA, but it has nothing to do with the United States of America. It has nothing to do whether you're on government assistance or you are a millionaire, whether you live in Japan, England, or Bixby, Oklahoma. For some reason or another, the only thing that leaves the world of get what you pay for, I want results for my time, is when it comes to religion and worshiping Christ. And what's interesting is Scripture is contrary to this. Ask and you shall receive. All your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. So when you're thinking about tonight's topic and consistency, why are you consistent about making sure that your rights and you get what you pay for? Why are you consistent about that? Because it seems to work and make you happy. But then the flip side is, why are you so consistent about putting effort into a relationship with Christ and never having a face-to-face meeting with grace?
Real good.
Where's the consistency,
right,
and accuracy? Because you know it. So in other words, you have the skills, you have the tools, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you've been doing it your entire life. Why aren't you doing it when it comes to the way you worship? I don't understand this. I really don't. I don't get it. And it sounds like I'm mad. I'm not mad and I'm not frustrated. I am mystified.
Mm-hmm.
I literally say, I don't see this.
Right.
Every Sunday, if the guys make me drive around, I mean, Tulsa has to be the capital of buildings and structures in the United States of America. They're everywhere, and they're building new ones every week, it seems like. And I see I see, literally, I see tens of thousands of cars parked everywhere at these buildings, and I'm just going, seriously?
Right.
The guys had me go to one place, and you're not going to believe this. People's names were painted in the parking lot.
Hmm.
And I asked somebody, I says, why are their names, why do these people have their names on parking spaces? And you know what the lady said?
Mm-mm.
She said, well, these are special people that have given a lot of money to the building. These are special members of the congregation. And I says, do they also have their names on their chairs? Oh, yeah, they sit right up front. Everybody knows who they are.
Hmm.
And I says, you know who else knows who they are? And she says, who? And I go, Satan. And she goes, what? She goes, what? You know, and of course the guys are saying, that's not really how we wanted you to say that.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
You know, they're chewing me out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're saying there was nicer ways or was better ways. You didn't have to just say, you know who else that knows who they are? Satan. You know, they wanted me to be a little more. But I was just thinking, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Because this lady, I saw this lady. She was running late. She had an older car. It was an American car, but it was an older car, a little dented, a little scratched. And she was her clothes were clean, but, you know, not really in style, an older lady. So you can tell that she's probably, you know, on a fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking about these parking spaces and these chairs and the people that they belong to like they're professional athletes, like they're special.
Like they're saints.
Yes, exactly. That's great. Good for you. And after I said Satan, I go, I don't mean to freak you out. I says, you are so much closer to Christ than they are. And she goes, really? And she says, how do you know? And I say, and so, you know, there's, you know, Mr., you know, there's the Holy Spirit saying, be nice, you know, come on.
I was going to say, what deviant thing did you say to her?
And I looked at her and I says, you'll never see me again. And I says, but trust me.
Mm-hmm.
I says, with everything that you've ever known to be true.
Yeah.
I says, the guys just love you to death.
Yeah.
And then I started to take off, and she goes, guys, what guys? and I went, oh. And I says, well, she don't need to worry about it. She'll forget me in a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
She'll go have pancakes or French toast somewhere. But I just thought, seriously?
Yeah.
You know, and there's another type of consistency.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Well, are you ready to say something to music, or you want to keep going?
You know, I think what you just shared is it can't be improved on.
About thinking, pancakes and French toast?
Pancakes, French toast, and the devil in the seats. And
yeah.
I think it's perfect. It just summarizes what we were doing, both of our summaries together.
I will admit, I do feel a little bad because the look on that poor woman's face when I said, you know who else that knows who they are, Satan. And see, folks, this is a perfect example why Jim doesn't take me on the road, and why you consistently people say, boy, I'd love to go to the ranch. I'd love to meet BJ. And what do you say?
No, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't. No, no, you wouldn't. No, you really.
No,
don't.
I really would. No, you wouldn't.
No, you really don't want it now. And that's all right. Let's find some music, and.
Well, I'm just gonna say a prayer with you tonight because I think what you just heard. What I shared and then how BJ articulated what he said, I think it's something for you to chew on over and over again, to be real honest with you. Get a hold of that. But God's love is consistent. Never wavers, never fades out, never becomes obsolete or comes to an end. His love is consistent, and His perfect love casts out all fear. Thank God tonight we shared some of the things that we did because If you'll just allow yourself to see whether or not there's consistency of your spirit and God, whether there is or whether there isn't, if you'll make that 100% change to put your efforts and your thoughts and your emotions toward the Lord, I'm telling you, grace will get up all over you and begin to help you and show you and begin to articulate to you. On and on and on I could go, but you'll begin to experience a wonderful relationship. So do that this week, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, that was nice. Well, we've had a pretty good show. We haven't had any issues or anything.
Right? No, it's good.
I feel kind of, and folks, by the way, when we actually pre-recorded this show, Robin was in the other room. She's got water, play toys, that blanket, that favorite chew toy, and she's actually pretty comfortable in there.
Yeah, yeah. But it won't be long. She'll be in here with us.
Well, the reason she wasn't in here for the pre-recorded show is because I literally haven't had time to rewire the studio.
I thought that was true.
I gotta change everything. You know, get it up off the floor. You know, right. I don't want her to get electrocuted.
No.
I mean, oh my gosh, that'd be tragic. But no, we've had a good show. Oh, see, this is on you, Mr. Huckaday. This is your fault right here. Walking home from our house Christmas Eve. And I don't even know how to get rid of it. This is just, remember, folks, if you've been listening to the entire show, remember I told you he would jinx us, that he shouldn't have brought it up. This is his fault. I don't even know if I can get rid of it. Oh, there we go. Thanks, guys. Okay. Well, Jim will be back here in the barn and the Hardesty Library next week.
That's right.
Yes,
that's right.
And what are you bringing me back from Mexico?
Oh, just so you know, the Hardesty Library this week, Joe Morris is going to take over for me, and he's going to come in. He's been there before, does an amazing and wonderful job. So, by all means, head there to the Hardesty Library, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock on the. BJ, what day will it be? Will it be the 13th?
Yes.
On
my
the
lucky
13th,
number, 13th.
On the 13th, and Joe Morris will be there. You'll have a great time. And then I'll be there on the 20th. So God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week.
Thanks for all the emails tonight, folks. We'll see you next week.